The Old Testament reading for Ash Wednesday is from Joel chapter 2. Yet even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people. Consecrate the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the minister of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord. Make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. The Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I am sending to you grain, wine, and oil, and you shall be satisfied, and I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 2 Peter chapter 1. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text is Matthew chapter 6, 1-6 and 16-21, the gospel lesson just read. The title is Private Acts of Religion. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, on this week in 1522, an event took place in the city of Zurich, Switzerland, became the initial cause of the Reformation in all lands not directly under the influence of Martin Luther. That event, 1522, was a meal that included the eating of 2 smoked sausages by 12 people on the evening before the first Sunday in Lent. Now, this was a violation of the rules of fasting that had long precedent in the Christian church. Ulrich Zwingli, the celebrated preacher of Zurich, was there, and he enjoyed the meal with his friends, but he did not stop them, nor did he eat the smoked sausages. 2 weeks later, Zwingli preached about the smoked sausages with the title of his sermon, Regarding the Choice and Freedom of Foods. His main point was that the eating of foods should not be regulated by the church, either in general or for special fasting days. Zwingli taught that the eating of foods or refraining from them in a fast was a decision for the individual Christian to make as a private decision in evangelical freedom. Luther agreed with Zwingli on these points because Zwingli had plenty of scripture passages to back up his position, and so it became the Protestant view. Zwingli's Roman Catholic opponents, for their part, had plenty of church tradition on their side. The prescription for the 40 days of Lent as a mandatory fast for all Christians can be traced as far back as the Council of Nicaea, 325 AD, when our Nicene Creed was adopted. Fasting was seen by the medieval church as one way of expressing your repentance for sin. Those who refused to fast or who broke their fast privately were considered to be impenitent sinners, and they were punished accordingly. Today in the Roman Catholic Church, although fasting is still seen as a sign of repentance, the demands of the church are not as rigorous as they were in medieval times. Overall reduction in the intake of food on a daily basis, which is the fast, strictly speaking, is now only required on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday in that church. Abstinence, another term, is only a fast of meat, and that's prescribed for both of those days, plus all the Fridays in Lent, with some exceptions being made for age, that is the younger or the older, or special situations. Zwingli was right because he listened to what our Lord said. One passage where our Lord's will is clear on this matter is our gospel lesson for this evening. Look at verse 17, where Jesus says, "When you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so it will not be obvious to men that you were fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." If a Christian fast is supposed to be done in secret, as Jesus says here, how did the church ever think that it could regulate it? Regulation can only be done where there is public practice or public evidence. So the church, starting in 325 AD, just disregarded these words of Jesus. Look at the other two acts of religion described in our text, which is from the Sermon on the Mount. In verses 1 to 4, Jesus talks about giving to charity. Notice verse 3, where Jesus says, "Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret." Then in verses 5 to 6, Jesus talks about private prayer. Notice verse 6, where Jesus says, "When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Now, all these three cases, private prayer, giving to charity, and fasting, are acts of religion that should be done in private and are only between you and God. So how did the Christian church get so far wrong on something quite obvious and not that difficult to figure out? I think it happened in this way. The Christian church realized early on that it had to make some rules for the public acts of religion for the sake of unity and harmony in the church. Some people were saying this, some people were saying that, and as you know, that gets into church fights. So the church settled it and said, "We're going to do it this way." One of the first decisions of this sort was when to meet together for worship on a weekly basis. And this is recorded in church history. Sabbath, that is Saturday, was the logical choice for Christians who had once become Jews. But in some places, Sunday was preferred. We know from the New Testament, when the city of Troy worshiped on Sunday, when St. Paul was there. That's in Acts 20, verse 7. So in Troy, they were worshiping on Sunday. Paul also told the Corinthians to gather their offerings on Sunday, 1 Corinthians 16:2. There's another evidence for worship on Sunday. A bit later, Emperor Constantine made Sunday the day of Christian rest and worship in 321 AD, and it has been so ever since. Now, there are many other decisions that had to be made for the sake of uniformity in matters of the public acts of religion, such as what liturgy to use, the church calendar, the lectionary readings, etc., etc. After the early church had got into the habit of regulating public acts of religion, it then thought, forgetting Jesus' words, it could then also regulate private acts of religion, like fasting, private prayer, and giving to charity. Now, when the church leaders confused public acts with private acts, they contradicted our Lord, and so became guilty of a very serious sin. And this was the same sin that the Pharisees had committed, that is, imposing religious burdens on the people that were not commanded by God. This sin caused Jesus to verbally attack the scribes and Pharisees with the seven woes in Matthew chapter 23. So does this mean that private prayer, fasting, and giving to charity is wrong or of no use? Certainly not. It is the misuse of these things that Jesus attacked, not their proper use. So then, what is, we ask, their proper use? With regard to prayer, let your private prayer remain private. Now, you may pray to God at any time in any place. If people are around you, you may pray to God from your heart, without speaking out loud, without making any gestures. If there's no one around to observe, then you may speak out loud, or fold your hands, or use gestures like the sign of the cross. Some people have a special place in their house or their bedroom where they pray. Others pray anywhere and any time that they have a spare moment or two. But If it's private and not corporate like we're doing right now, when it's private, keep it between yourself and God. With regard to fasting, let your private fast remain private. Now, you may fast at any time in any place, although I advise no more than a day or two in length. The purpose of fasting in the Bible is either to restrain the temptations of the body or to devote more time for prayer and the study of God's word. The Roman Catholic Church today says that fasting is only for persons between the age of 14 and 60, and I think that is an excellent rule. Minors should always discuss their fast, if they do it, with their parents. The person fasting should remain hydrated, not be involved in any type of physical exercise or exertion, and talk to their doctor if there are any possible health risks. With regard to giving to charity, let your private gift remain private. And we respect this rule in this congregation by not publishing the names and amounts given. Years ago, in some congregations, I don't think so in this one, the information about what you gave was made public. It was published in the newsletter of the church annually. Today, the financial officers at Grace who record your donations privately do so only for tax purposes and for the orderly clearing of checks. The fact that this congregation keeps the amount of your contributions private should not be incentive to give less, but to give more, since your gift is here only between you and God. More important than how you do your private acts of religion is why you do them. Giving to charity is for the sake of your neighbor, or if it's to your church, for the sake of the necessary support of your Christian congregation. Fasting is for the sake of controlling your body or focusing your concentration. Prayer is for many things: interceding on behalf of your neighbor, making your needs, known to God, and giving thanks and praise to Him. Now, none of these private acts of religion are meritorious in God's sight. None of these acts can compensate for sins that you've committed. Your relationship to God is not determined by these acts at all, but only by the intercession and the merits of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's what pays and compensates for your sins. As Lutherans, we are blessed to be members of a church that has firmly and faithfully proclaimed the freedom which Christ has won for us by his perfect obedience and by his suffering and death on the cross. St. Paul writes, and I conclude, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened by a yoke of slavery." Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. In Jesus' name, amen.